Thanks be to God for his word, and thanks to Anna and to Ian for reading. Please post a comment if you can. We do have somebody moderating the comments this week. Sarah's looking after that. So we should be able to respond if you have a question or if you have a comment or you want to add a prayer. But let me just reflect a little bit on, mostly on the Ezekiel passage, although I will refer to the John passage as well. And so this title of this sermon would be, Can Dry Bones Live Again? And maybe that's a question that many of us are asking during this time of confinement. Will life ever be the same again? Will we ever go back to how things were? Or will things be different? Well, it looks like things will be different. People like John are asking that sort of question. John is not his real name, but somebody I spoke to this week who told me he's lost everything. He's been laid off from his job because of the lack of business due to the virus. As yet, he's been unable to find other work, although he's looking, or to receive any benefits. He can't support his family in the way that he'd want to. He's managed to get some support from the food bank, but he's still struggling to feed his three kids. He feels like someone who is as low as anyone can go, he said to me. He's way down in the pit of despair. We read earlier from Psalm 130, Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you. God knows what it's like to be down in the pit of despair. And this current COVID-19 crisis that the world is facing is not unlike the kind of crisis that the nation of Israel faced during the Babylonian exile in the 6th century BC, the time in which the story from Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, a vision that God gave him, occurs. In that time, all hope was gone. As Ezekiel wrote, the people say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Israel had lost her livelihood, her prosperity, her homeland, her temple, her religion. Even families had been separated and some had died. Many felt as if they had lost everything, and there was no prospect of change anytime soon. The future looked bleak and not worth living for some. It was into that world of hopelessness and despair that God spoke a message. It was a message that people like John today still need to hear. It was a message of hope in the face of despair. It was a promise of new life. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, says the Sovereign Lord. It was a word, and it is a word. A word for John in his despair and all the other Johns up and down the land and throughout this world and even in our homes, in our own community. You will have life breathed into you again. That day will come, even after what just now feels like an eternity. It's not. God inhabits the eternal. God is Lord of the eternal, and God will have the last word. Not coronavirus, nor death, nor anything else. These things will pass. One writer of the Bible puts it, as our troubles are momentary, they won't last, but will achieve an eternal glory that will outshine every trouble. Therefore, he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God knows what it feels like to face hardship, poverty, and cruelty. Born into a poor family who were forced to flee as refugees, Jesus shared every human experience in being God with us. He carried the weight of human suffering and humbled himself even to dying a criminal's death on the cross. That is the centre of our hope, the gospel. God raised him to the heights of heaven. Jesus embodied the Spirit of God that Ezekiel speaks of. In conversation with the grieving Martha at the tomb, who was consumed by grief over the loss of her brother, Jesus revealed himself as the resurrection and the life. Jesus confronted Martha with a choice. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He says to her. Either Martha could stay in her grief and loss and all that comes with that, emotional distress, economic ruin, because of the likelihood that Lazarus had been the main breadwinner. Or she could trust this Jesus and see the glory of God. But it would mean facing up to what's hidden behind the stone. It would mean facing up to not just the loss of her brother, but to face up to death itself. Death is not something most of us like to think about. Many of us live imprisoned by our fear of death even, and we think that by not facing it, it might not happen. But one thing's sure, it will happen. And times like we're living through at the moment can remind us of that, which is why the biblical claim that love is stronger than death is so essential for us to hold on to. In Paul's famous passage from 1 Corinthians, a favourite reading for weddings, he puts it as three things will endure: faith, hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is stronger than death. Love will endure all things. Love will cast out all fear. Love will win in the end. And to quote Richard Rohr, love is who we are and who we are becoming. In the midst of her grief, at the end of her rope, Martha somehow dug deep and found it in her to say, "Yes, Lord." And when she did, she saw the glory of God and felt the power of his everlasting love. My hope is that John will see what Martha saw, that the dry bones of his current situation will find themselves wrapped in flesh and muscle, skin and breath, come to life and know God. May we all know God more fully through this time. But there are many signs of God at work. There are many signs of love being expressed in so many different ways at this time. I want to share, just to finish, four examples of that I came across this week. Four signs of where love is winning, four signs of something beyond our current circumstances. Well, one, very simple, it seems to me that the birds are singing more loudly and the smoky skies are more clearer. I wonder and hope that after this crisis is over, there will be a new global commitment to tackle climate change and to take seriously how our actions affect our planet and its people. Second thing, all those rainbows in the windows that you may have seen, signs of hope that there will come a day when we get through what we're going through after a long period of confinement with God's help. The God who rescued Noah and his family after 40 days and 40 nights in a cramped boat on a high sea, and creatures of every kind surrounded them. Imagine the smell and the noise. That's the same God who has offered himself to us and for us in Christ. The rainbow is an amazing sign of hope. Thirdly, a modern take on the principle of beating swords into plowshares. The news that some manufacturers are stopping their production of weapons in order to manufacture ventilators for the NHS. Campaign Against the Arms Trade reported this week that Rolls-Royce, which produces military aircraft engines, and aerospace companies like Airbus, which profits from the sale of fighter jets to Saudi Arabia, have been cancelled by the UK government to help produce ventilators, showing that change can come when the political will is there. The case for moving our engineering skills from industries that take lives to ones that save them has never been stronger. We can see more than ever that our security is not advanced by wars or by spending billions on nuclear weapon systems and aircraft carriers, but by building fairer societies that support the most vulnerable and by investing in public services. Let's work together to ensure that out of this crisis we build a safer world where real human needs are prioritised. Good things will come from this time of crisis. God's promise to those who choose to respond to God's love is that God causes everything to work together for good. And the fourth sign, you may have heard of Giuseppe Berardelli, a priest who was whose community got together to buy him a ventilator in order to keep him well, but he passed it on to a younger person and died. Greater love has no person than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Somebody used that quote from John 15 to describe that story of sacrificial love. So may we live through these days with the hope of goodness beyond what we see, as these signs of love can come into all things and inspire us and sustain us in the name of the God who loves us and who saves us. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we can call on your name and that we can know you and your peace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Just wanted to say before we go on to pray that if you like to give and continue to give, lots of people give their offerings during worship services. Obviously, the church at the moment is not able to receive many of the offerings that they rely upon in order to continue the work of the church. It's good to do it by standing order if you can, but if you collect money and set it aside for envelopes or for open plate collections, then please continue to do so, and the day will come where we can take that in. But if you'd like to speak about other ways of giving, then please contact the treasurer at knec.treasurer@gmail.com. That's knec.treasurer@gmail.com. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Merciful Father, we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you receive and bless the offering of our worship and our gifts, and so consecrate our bodies, minds, and spirits by the action of your Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, that we may give ourselves to you a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance. For such is the worship which we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. How right it is for us to thank and praise you, Lord. We thank you for our experience of the world you have created, for the sights and sounds of every day, and for occasional glimpses into deep beauty, for the many encounters and relationships of life with those whom we love, and for all that goes to weave the rich and varied fabric of community. But more than that, we thank you for the gospel's joyful sound, for the new life and light Christ gives to those who put their trust in him, and for the privilege of our commission to speak in his name, to shine with his light, and to build his new community. Lord Jesus, you opened your hands on the cross. You embrace us now in your immense love, for you are risen and alive. God of gentle presence, you knew the ultimate separation when on the cross Christ felt he was forsaken. Be with all who feel their Good Friday has come today. Comfort those who have the virus. Empower all who care for those in distress through medicine, acts of kindness, or imaginative communication. Be present to any who feel utterly alone, without companion or health or hope. Show us your face amid grief and bewilderment. Inspire us to find new ways to be one with one another and with you, and bring this time of trial to an end in Christ our Lord. Ever-present God with us, in a moment of silence, may we remain open to you and lay aside all that separates us from you, and in faith pray for all that brings us closer to you. King of kings and Lord of lords, remember the rulers of the nations, especially our governments and all members of parliament. Let it be the aim of every government to promote peace and justice. And let the causes of hatred and bitterness be removed from all the troubled places of the world. Especially we pray for the forgotten peoples of the world, in the refugee camps on the Syria-Turkey border, the battered and bombed people of Yemen. In this time when we are consumed with the global battle against COVID-19, may we not forget to do what we can for and pray for these poor people, refugees and victims of war and famine, that justice will roll like a mighty river and righteousness like a never-ending stream, that peace will come and peace will last. Lord, King of all, remember the workers of our land and especially those whose livelihood is threatened by the virus. Protect and preserve all who continue to work in the face of difficulty. For those who care and work for healing, who put their lives at risk in the service of those in need. We remember too those who work to feed us in food production and in delivery and in retail shops. We pray for the police and armed forces working to keep people safe. For all of these, we pray that your loving care will encompass them, protect them from all harm and lead them in love. Lord, King of mercy, remember all who are afflicted, the sick in body, the disturbed in mind, the worried and the tempted, the bereaved, those with operations cancelled, those awaiting results, those with a diagnosis which is hard to accept. To all such as these, give comfort and help, healing and strength. Lord, King of love, remember all who are closest to us in family or friendship, and be near to all whom we name now in silence. May you, God, be known as the living Lord and source of peace and hope in every home and every heart. And may the whole earth come to know the fullness of Christ, God with us. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.